Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Transformation Cafe. As always, on Tuesday nights at Pacific Standard Time, I want to welcome you to the show. We have one of our regular guest chefs in the house. Miss Lorraine is back. Hey, Lorraine, how are you?
Hi, Robin. Namaste. I miss you guys. I'm so happy to be back again.
Namaste. Great to have you here. And as always, we've got Miss Gloria. Miss Gloria, how are you this evening?
I am doing lovely. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, very, very awesome. And hopefully we'll have a few more people scooting up to the table. We've got a very interesting topic tonight. We're going to be talking about children's yoga. And I was actually checking out Lorraine's wonderful website. If you go to sourceyogaca.com, there's a wonderful thing there where you can look at all the different specifics of the yogas that are offered for kids. And gosh, I had, you know, I thought that would be a great topic, but I had no idea how many wonderful things there are available for kids. I'm kind of jealous. My kids didn't have all this stuff available to them when they were growing up. And that's you know, it's good and bad. You know how that goes. And what I really love, too, is that the parents are included to go ahead and join in with the different activities. And isn't that fun?
They are. And I don't have children myself. So just to see my students on a yoga mat and then their parents sitting behind them, it's like we really, it becomes like we're the only ones in the room. I mean, some parents sit on the chairs and kind of, or some may leave, but for the most part, it's just us together as a class, and you can literally feel the love from everybody. So it's a beautiful experience.
Yeah, that's really, really awesome. So just to kind of back up a little bit, Lauren, you want to go ahead and, you know, we have two other episodes with Lauren. We have episode 219, which was an introduction to yoga. We were really kind of talking about some of the universal secrets of yoga. You know, that's always exciting. And then in 221, we were talking about just deepening the practice of yoga. So we were really looking at that. So tonight, again, we're talking about children's yoga. So how young can a child be, you know, when they start yoga?
Well, truly, Robin, they can't start immediately. I mean, if you think about it, they're born doing yoga poses. So child pose, yeah, cross-leg pose, happy baby. Their bodies are so flexible, and the best thing for them is to maintain that flexibility. Now, if they're fortunate enough to be born from a yogi, then their practice essentially starts in the womb. And when you get into Kundalini yoga, you learn exactly when the soul enters the physical body and certain mantras to do at each trimester. So these yogis, they have a practice of being with their babies for the first 40 days of life. So in my opinion, the question isn't how young can you start, it's really what can you do not to stop?
Most of my students,
yeah, because to me, they're born yogis, and we just need to support their path and their process and really teach them what to do with themselves. My youngest,
so every
student,
kid is born as a yoga, as a yoga yogi.
That's how I see it. They really, my students get the concept so much than some of my adult students. And I think it's because they were more present with God more recently than we were. And they don't have like the shade that kind of we've put up. So the first 6 years of their life is so essential in their yogic development, we can call it. I mean, in my class, we have ages 3 to 6. Those are, we call them the buds. It's little lotus yoga. And then 7 to 11 is the blossom. So that's kind of in the class, I would accept like 3 and on. But truly, their practice starts from birth, I believe.
And do you have like mommy and baby yoga? Do you guys have
we
that
do.
As well?
Well, right now we have Zumbini, so it's more Zumba for babies, and it's not exercising the infants. It's more of like a guardian and me time where they roll around, and we have all these beautiful props and like drums and rattles and scarves, and we essentially play music for them and get them into a routine. of playtime. So they're stretching and playing. So that's more Zoom Beanie. And then Little Lotus starts at 3.
It's
really, really fun. It's so cute.
Yeah.
The energy and just the freedom of playing around and being yourself, it's just beautiful. I love it.
So it's more for the parents than the kids, right?
Kind of. And then their babies go home and take naps. So they love it too.
Well, and I'm sure they want to take naps as well. Everybody's going to go home and take a nap. Yeah,
exactly.
So what are some of the, this is so cool. What are some of the developmental things that really benefit? So like you're saying, they're already stretching. They're already being connected.
Mm-hmm.
But like from the age of 3, because I know just personally for me with yoga, it's just such a connection between the mind and the body. And how do you guys really work that for the kids, you know, even at the age, like a young age of 3?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the intention is to plant spiritual seeds in the children. I mean, we all remember our favorite teachers and the people who moved and inspired us, the ones who believed in us and saw the good that we have. And that's what I do for my class. So I take time to get down to their level, to look them in the eyes and let them know that I see them and that they are good. In fact, we have our simple meditation at the end of the class. We just chant, I am happy, I am good. I am happy, I am good. And we do this with a certain mudra, so a finger pose, if you will. And that's something that goes and they remember forever. So that's a seed that is planted. And I teach them to trust themselves and to feel their feelings. And I do this in a fun way through encouragement and stories and games. Because what I've seen is oftentimes kids aren't given enough permission to just be human and to just feel themselves. So maybe sometimes they're grumpy or upset or they're not always feeling happy, but as adults, sometimes we forget that they feel as much as we feel, and they're going to remember their experiences. As I mentioned, under the age of 6, we really need to teach them that peace begins with them and that they're the ones in control of their emotions. So at the beginning of the class, I start with 3 different types of breath. We do bear breathing, butterfly, and bumblebee breath. Which is another great thing about yoga for kids is that most of the practice involves animals, which they love. So they learn the practice of ahimsa, which is nonviolence, and, you know, seeing life for life. But back to the breath, I show them if they're upset, they can breathe this way like a butterfly and calm down. Or if they're sleepy, they can do some bumblebee breathing for energy. And the children find it very empowering to be in charge of their bodies.
I don't know. I'm just thinking about, you know, most kids, when it comes to something like that, it's going to turn into a temper tantrum or, you know, a bowel movement, or, you know, they're either going to choose to eat or not to eat, because that's really the only things they kind of have control of. But this really shows them that how much more of choice that they can do in a level of just their wellness. That's awesome.
It is. And we just have one main rule in the class, and that's if it hurts, don't do it. And they are the ones who they'll kind of announce that, like, this is hurting, I don't want to do it. And I tell them, okay. So together we reemphasize and I reiterate so that they learn to take this practice off of the mat. And I'll explain to them, this is different than getting a shot, something that will eventually support their health. Just if it hurts, don't do it. And this is another seed that connects them on a mind-body level where they'll learn to take care of themselves always, you know, not smoking, not taking drugs, or putting themselves in situations that they feel inside are going to be painful.
I was going to say, you know, can you show a different example of, like, you said the bear, like a bear breath? Is that right?
Yeah, it's essentially, let me think of what it is as an adult. It's kind of like cannonball breathing or fire belly, or actually it's like a
So they're a breathing really
breathing.
Low in their warrior breathing. So they're breathing low in their belly. So it's like a low belly breath kind of thing.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like a sleeping bear snoring.
Yeah.
But it's on a physical level. It's opening up their lungs and they're getting more air in, and you can literally, if you're sensitive to energy in the room, you can feel their body kind of like exhale once they've gotten more oxygen to their organs. me. You can feel a shift happen in the room. And it's subtle for children, and it happens quickly, and their attention spans are so short. So we move on to the next thing. Like, we have a lot of activities packed in the class, but it's all going into them on, like, a cellular level. They're learning and remembering. And I know that they're going to take this practice with them into their next steps of life.
That's awesome. That's really, really awesome. Okay, so butterfly, what would the butterfly be?
It's breathing as quietly as they possibly can, which for a three-year-old, it's the whole room gets really quiet. it doesn't last very long. Yeah, because then we move on, but they open their eyes and they're just stopped for a second of not doing anything. And I ask them, what do you guys feel? Do you feel anything? And they'll be like, yeah, I feel calm. I mean, they get it so easily, and it's just the most beautiful thing for me to watch. I'm in love with all of my little yogis.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to come and watch a class. I'll be a part of a class. I'm just going
to
be that rude lady in the back who doesn't have her kids.
You're more than welcome to. Yeah.
That'd be very fun.
This Thursday. Yeah, I'd love to, you know, get some flowers for them and make it a little celebration.
Sure. Oh, yeah, we can definitely. Yeah, they're, you know, they love to have the flowers. That's for sure. That's for sure. That's a great idea. We'll have to talk about that. So on that, okay. So what is it when we're just looking at just like developmental. There it is. Developing.
Yeah, developmental.
The developing of that. Yeah, thanks. When it comes to that level of, okay, just looking at it from that level, what are the benefits of the physical elements to a yoga class for kids? What would be the physical things?
Yeah, well, the kids are so playful. And they don't have very many boundaries. So they want to jump on each other. They want to, you know, run and play. So we practice together empathy. We practice being compassionate and respectful of each other and kind of staying on our mats, which for the younger ones, it isn't always easy. So it can be as little as that. I mean, yes, they're exercising, and we put together songs with the yoga poses. For instance, a sun salute when we do the yogi pokey, we have fun warm-ups, and they're definitely moving and learning the yoga poses, but they go deeper than that. So for example, for balance and tree pose, we'll talk about what the trees do when we're in the yoga pose, how they provide shelter for the animals, or they give us shade, or some trees give us food. So while we're doing our poses, we're basically becoming one with our environment and learning how to respect everything around us. So their body gets it. I mean, they're young, they're running around all day anyway, they're exercising. So the same way with the adults, how asana, the third limb in our practice, is the third step. I also teach them the yamas and the niyamas, which are the first steps in yoga. So for example, saucha is cleanliness. So we talk about having fresh air in their bedrooms and being clear of clutter. That way they have space to play and dirt isn't accumulating around them, affecting their health. So I plant little seeds like that seem so simple, but they'll come to me the next class and explain the things that they did. And that's another thing. I always ask at least one conscious question during class, and I speak to them just as if they already have complete understanding. So I'll ask, for instance, what it means to coexist, or what they did that week that was conscious. And these kids are so amazing. They speak from their open heart, not even aware of how profound they're being. And then my job then becomes very fun and interesting in just encouraging their thinking. So while we're doing yoga, just the little group of children, we're having these deep conversations, and they're empowered because they're coming up with the answers. And as I mentioned, they're grasping the concepts really, really fast. And I see by talking to them, their understanding of infinity.
Well, that's even on an adult level, those kind of questions are kind of hard. Oh yeah, but it's like out of the mouth of babes when it comes to that level of just that simple, clear truth that's out there. You know what I mean?
Well,
yeah, that's just really, really great.
It's great, and I've spent every season, so four times in this year, I've gone to Sadaiatin. Achari Shri's spiritual center in Texas. I've gone for all four of their children camps, and there the kids learn what a soul is, and they talk about karma. So when I come back to my class, asking a child what is a soul, I mean, how it's hard for an adult to explain what a soul is. But when you create a space where they're safe to say what they think and they're not being judged, or, I mean, anything they say is right to me because it's coming from them. It's their truth. And so, so they really feel free in order to talk about these deep things. And they really get happy in doing that. I would love for you to come see Robin because it's simple little fun things, but it's quite amazing.
Well, I just think everybody should be doing this. It's not a matter of an age thing. It's a matter of experience, you know, to have that kind of childlike play and not make it about how old am I, is allowing your soul to experience something like that. And so it's just a joy level. It makes everybody remember just the wonderful, you know, playfulness and just the simplicity and just the light of life, the delights of life, you know. I think it's just something everybody should experience and not make it about, you know, oh, this is for kids. We're all kids. I'm like, there's a little part of us that's always kids inside of ourselves, you know.
Definitely. And I see the adults participating, and I know that they're getting in a good yoga class too. So it's really a class for us all.
So you were talking about some of the activities that the kids are getting offered. Do you have one class in particular? It doesn't sound like it because each one's basically just gifting you with so many wonderful experiences, depending on your little yogis you've got going on in there.
Yeah, with these younger people, I have to keep it consistent. So we do our intention at the end of the class. Sometimes we'll, you know, send a wish to a loved one, and we'll all kind of hold the space for that person. But I do switch it up because they learn very quickly. So we play, we like color mandalas. We play games where they get to teach a pose. And I'm just getting now into aerial yoga, which is like yoga in a hammock in the sky. So my training for that is next month, and that'll be a new activity that I'm bringing to my little yoga, little lotus students. So that'll be a new area for us all, and I can't wait for that either.
I'm sure all the parents are really looking forward to that too. They're all going to want to go home and, you know, put a hook in their ceiling so they can be hanging in there.
Yep, that's
Mom, I did it. I did it in class. I have to be able to hang out at home.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really fun, though. It's really neat to see how we're going back to the old ways. I guess that's the way I want to say it, because it's, you know, the being able to hang upside down and just being able to really connect with yourself and just kind of, like I said, just fun and playful ways, but yet ways that really help us to connect with ourselves. It's just real simple. It's just really, really great. Yeah.
Get off of the cell phone and talk to each other and talk about how you feel and take the time to check on how you feel. So
You talk about that with the kids about cell phones and their video games and things like that.
We do. We talk about not sleeping by them. We talk about playing outside and playing with each other. And right now, this group that I have is young enough not to have cell phones. But definitely when we do yoga poses about opening our hearts, then I remind them, you know, if you're reading or looking down, this is your pose. And I give them examples of real life examples, things that they use every day and understand.
So what do you really love about, like, so with the Little Lotus class, what's your favorite thing about that class?
Oh, so many things. I really feel so comfortable teaching yoga to kids because they're so transparent, Robin. If they get bored, they're going to let you know. And same, if they love you, then they're going to jump all over you and hug and kiss you. And if they have a comment, they'll add it. So, again, we learn together to be respectful of each other. And we learn about, you know, I talk about being conscious. So there's a time to play. There's a time to listen. There's a time to help people. And I love it because it helps me be an example to them, because we all need to be examples for people that are younger than us. Like, they need to see us meditating because they're going to copy you. And you need right. to take them to yoga or do yoga with them so that they learn at an early age that there are things in life that are important and sacred, and that they are those important sacred things. So what I love is that I never underestimate a child's understanding of the universe. I learn so much from my students. I don't have children of my own, but I clearly see that these kids are here to teach me. And essentially, they're here to teach all of us, because many of them are they're already light bearers. They're very sensitive. So I have one little girl, out of all the kids, she'll always come to me and she'll tell me something that she saw that affected her deeply. And it'll usually be someone in her class got hurt, or there was an animal that was hurt. And so she's highly, highly sensitive. And I've had conversations with her mother. In fact, I'll mention a book. It's Storing Virtues, Indigo, Crystal, and Rainbow Children. Many of these children, like this little girl, they're born with a higher level of consciousness than adults. They don't need to be told not to eat meat from their parents, because they instinctively know an animal is a living thing and it's not food. And so they don't eat the meat. So little magical things happen in my class with these kids and their understanding, their awareness. One little girl, her name's Aurora. And so I asked her at our first class, I said, "Oh, you must be related to the princess Aurora." And she's actually named after, a northern star is named Aurora. So then I said, "Oh, well, you must be made of stardust." And without a doubt in her eyes, she looked at me and said, "I am." And I just realized, like, oh my gosh, yes, you are. Wow, we're all made of stardust. But she knows it, you know, more than you and I do.
Yeah, so she hasn't forgotten so much, and had life been happening to her. Yes,
exactly.
The way that she gets
exactly.
her bug on that. Yeah,
so I
awesome.
Have moments like that. They make me just feel so small and so in love. And that's definitely one of the things I learned. And it's so unexpected. I never know what's going to come out of these little ones' mouths. I mean,
well,
yeah.
Kind of like you've heard of Art Linkletter, right? You've heard of Art Linkletter, right?
I don't know.
Are you familiar
with
him? He was basically a host for talk shows and stuff. And he got this whole thing where he would say, it was basically a special show that said the kids say the darndest things. And he would just ask them these questions. And the kids came up with just all these really unusual answers for stuff, and they just owned it like it was just so. It was so interesting.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I should do that
in
my class. I should just have a list. Well, you know, if I feel bad.
Yeah, just have a list of different questions.
Class.
Yeah, just have a question of the day and see what they have for answers. Yeah, exactly. Because it's, you know, they do. They just know it the way they know it. It's real interesting. So how does a rich class for kids differ from, you know, what we consider for a regular, you know, if you go into a regular gym and stuff, you've got the ripped classes. And what is a ripped class? Just to kind of remind anybody that isn't familiar with that when it comes to working out.
Yeah, ripped is an acronym for resistance, intervals, power, plyometrics, endurance, and diet. And it's new. It's a class that started in Orange County actually about 3 years ago, but now the Ripped for Kids is new. And that's for older children. That's for children that want to be active and healthy and play and learn about their bodies on a physical level. So that class, you know, in yoga, we all put the mats in like the shape of a sun. So we're all kind of facing each other. It's more interactive in that way. In Ripped class, they're all standing. Lights and music are on, and they're essentially learning how to exercise and to get all of their energy out. So, RIP for Kids and Zumba for Kids, those are both choreographed to really fun, empowering songs where they learn to, like, lift up each other and to dance. In the Zumba Kids, and Zumba Kids, the training is so cute because Zumba is like a Latin fusion of, you know, sexy rhythms and beautiful beats. And in Zumba Kids, they say they take the sexy out and put the cute in. So there's no, like, hip diving, no pumping your chest like in Zumba. Here it's like a lot of bouncing and hopping and just playing around. So, yeah, very, very cute to watch.
Yeah, I would think so. And just how fun for them. And imagine being a kid and having that kind of an experience and being able to just go to a regular dance or something. And you've got some moves, you know, how cool mm-hmm. for them.
Yeah.
And just
good.
The sense of confidence and being able, you're not going to be one of the kids hanging on the wall. You'll know what to do and go out mm-hmm. there and, you know, shake your roof.
Right.
So you know how that goes.
Yeah.
That's very, 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 very cool. Well, it's exciting to see all the different things that are happening for kids nowadays.
Yeah, I know. I always say I wish I found yoga younger. I found
yeah,
it when I was
no
17,
kidding.
And if I was a little younger, life would have been easier earlier, but,
well,
you know,
I think, you know, part of it, too,
path.
Is, right, with the Zubini and then the Ripken and stuff like that, that's, like you said, it's only been going around, like, the last 3 years. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
opportunities for kids is different.
I know. When they're not eating real food or they don't get exercise at school anymore, it's definitely important to start at a young age you get into a healthy routine, and then it's easier when you're older.
Yeah,
and kids
definitely.
Need to be encouraged. Children don't need to be yelled at. They need to be loved. And the same goes for adults. We don't need to be criticized and corrected. We just need to be loved. So that's something that I really emphasize in Source Studio, and I think people feel it. So it's been amazing.
So Source Yoga is in Riverside, California. And if you go, again, the website is sourceyogaca.com. What kind of special activities do you have coming up for the next month or so?
Well, we have a lot this week. I mean, the new moon is with us this Thursday. So mm-hmm. every new moon and full moon, we do a meditation. We have a yoga gunas workshop, which is deeper into yoga, on Saturday, and a belly dancing workshop on Sunday. And actually, on Saturday night, Mercedes, who I listened today on your Transformation Cafe with Michelle. I love everything mm-hmm. you put on your show. Thank you.
Well,
but
thank
Mercedes,
you.
Yeah, she's leading a women's event called Celebrate You, where we'll do some dancing and talking. And we also have, you know, our teachers training that's ongoing, but there's just something special for each month. So I'd love to see you again. And I also want to come see your flower shop.
Yeah, absolutely. Flowers for You in Riverside, California. Make sure I get my little
mm-hmm.
plug in there. So,
yeah,
that's just so great. I just wanted to just thank you for all the work that you do. It's just so awesome to know that, you know, this generation is just so blessed to have people being awake and aware on just a totally new level. They're awake and aware, so they're definitely probably bringing people forward to really help them to nurture themselves and what they're needing to be doing. It's exciting to think what the possibilities will be for the future with all that.
Yeah, thank you too, Robin. Again, I listen to all of the speakers on your show now, and it's very inspiring to know that there's such good people around here doing these things. So thank you for allowing yoga to be talked about so often and for all the things you do. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you. So how can people get a hold of you? What's a good contact number for this for the Source Yoga?
Oh, 951-500-5009. Facebook, our studio, Source Studio, we always put tons of information there. And, the website, thank you for sharing, is sourceyogaca.com. Those are probably the best ways.
So I just want to encourage everybody, even if you're a grandmother, you know, get your grandkids there. And even if you don't have any kids, teach yourself go over and have some playtime. Because, I mean, I think that's really what we all need in the world, is a little more being light and playful with ourselves and others, and just reminding ourselves of just, you know, that childlike love that we all have within ourselves that we could be sharing with one another.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Everybody's welcome. Any age, any belief, come on in. We'll take good care of you.
Okay. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you for joining us. And thank you, Gloria. She's been a little quiet today. Have it. We'll see you here next time at the cafe.
Blessings. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.